राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Mai Ki. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare,
Rama Rama Hare Hare.
I'm very grateful to all of you to have come on a working day. Some people have holiday, but some working also. And also tomorrow we have to go to work. Thank you very much for coming. How much time do we have?
9:30.
Yeah. So I was told that we are supposed to begin chapter number 12 from the first canto. Hare Krishna. So we'll begin the first loka. Shri Shaunaka Uvacha.
Shri Shaunaka Uvacha.
Ashwatthamno ap. Ashwatthamno pasrushtena.
Ashwatthamno pasrushtena.
Brahma Shishno Rutejasa.
Brahma Shishno Rutejasa.
Uttaraya Hato Garbha.
Uttaraya Hato Garbha.
Ishena Jivita Punaha.
Ishena Jivita Punaha.
Sri Shaunaka Uvacha.
Sri Shaunaka Uvacha.
Ashwatthamnopasrushtena.
Ashwatthamnopasrushtena.
Brahma Shirshnoru Tejasa.
Brahma Shirshnoru Tejasa.
Uttaraya Hato Garbha.
Uttaraya Hato Garbha.
Ishena Jivita Punaha.
Ishena Jivita Punaha.
Sri Shaunaka Uvacha.
Sri Shaunaka Uvacha.
Ashwatthamnopasrushtena.
Ashwatthamnopasrushtena.
Brahma Shirshno Rutejasa.
Brahma Shirshno Rutejasa.
Uttaraya Hato Garbha.
Uttaraya Hato Garbha.
Ishena Jivita Punaha.
Ishena Jivita Punaha.
Shaunaka Uvacha.
Shaunaka Uvacha.
The sage Shaunaka said.
The sage Shaunaka said.
Ashwatthamna.
Ashwatthamna.
Of Ashwatthama.
Of Ashwatthama.
The son of Drona.
The son of Drona.
Upasrushtena.
Upasrushtena.
By release of.
By release of.
Brahma Shirshna.
Brahma Shirshna.
The invincible weapon.
The invincible weapon.
Brahmastra.
Brahmastra.
Uru Tejasa.
Uru Tejasa.
By high temperature.
By high temperature.
Uttarayaha.
Uttarayaha.
Of Uttara.
Of Uttara.
Mother of Parikshit.
Mother of Parikshit.
Hataha.
Hataha.
Being spoiled.
Being spoiled.
Garvaha.
Garvaha.
The womb.
The womb.
Ishena.
Ishena.
By the Supreme Lord.
By the Supreme Lord.
Ajivitaha.
Ajivitaha.
Brought to life.
Brought to life.
Punaha.
Punaha.
Again.
Again.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The sage Shaunaka said,
the sage Shaunaka said,
the womb of Uttara,
the womb of Uttara,
mother of Maharaj Parikshit,
mother of Maharaj Parikshit,
was spoiled,
was spoiled
by the dreadful,
by the dreadful
and invincible,
and invincible
Brahmastra weapon,
Brahmastra weapon,
released by Ashwatthama,
released by Ashwatthama,
but Maharaj Parikshit,
but Maharaj Parikshit,
was saved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
was saved by the Supreme Personality of
Godhead. Purport. The sages assembled in the forest of Naimisharanya inquired from Suta Goswami about the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. But in the course of narration other topics like the release of Brahmastra by the son of Drona, his punishment by Arjun, Queen Kunti Devi's prayers, the Pandavas' visit to the place where Bhishmadev was lying, his prayers, and thereafter the Lord's departure for Dwarka were discussed. His arrival at Dwarka and residing with the 16,000 queens, etc., were narrated. The sages were absorbed in hearing such descriptions, but now they wanted to turn to the original topic, and thus inquiry was made by Shaunaka Rishi. So the subject of the release of Brahmastra weapon by Ashwatthama is now renewed over here. How was the great Emperor Parikshit, who was highly intelligent and a great devotee, born in that womb. How did that death take place? How did his death take place and what did he achieve after his death? We all respectfully want to hear about him, Maharaj Parikshit, to whom Shukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter. So Suta Goswami said, Emperor Yudhishthir administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like his father. He had no personal ambition and was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. News even reached to the celestial planets about Maharaj Yudhishthira's worldly possessions, the sacrifices by which he could attain a better destination, his queen, his stalwart brothers, his extensive land, his sovereignty over the planet Earth and his fame, etc. Hare Krishna. So this chapter describes so many things, but important of this chapter is the charitra of Maharaj Parikshit. Parikshit charitra. Maharaj Parikshit is the actual hero of Bhagavatam because he is the one who received the transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually narrations of many charitras, beginning with the charitra of devotees, then charitra of Krishna, and then description of Kali Yuga and the effects of Kali Yuga, and Lord Krishna's narration of the Gita to Uddhava also in 11th canto. So we are very fortunate to come across a character like Parikshit Maharaj. Yesterday we read that Parikshit Maharaj is calling himself an unqualified king, unworthy descendant of Pandavas. And by the association of Shukadev, he feels that his house has become, his land has become holy place. And if you go by the words, then you will say, okay, maybe ordinary person. What is the character of Parikshit Maharaj? I will read it as per the verses in the future, in the next slokas. But the history goes like this, that all of you know that in the Leela of Krishna, Lord Krishna had requested many demigods to contribute. Then I will come. So everybody had to contribute. So Indra gave Arjun, Ayudev gave Bhimsen, and Dharmaraj gave Yudhishthir Maharaj, Ashwini Kumaras gave Nakul Sahadev, and so on and so forth. They had to contribute in their own way to assist the Lord in these pastimes. So the Somdev, Chandra Devata, he was very attached to his son. So he said, I won't be able to give my son for a long time. Still you have to contribute. So he said, okay, I'll contribute, but I will not be able to stay without my son for a long time. So 16 years I will give. So Abhimanyu is son of Somadev. That is why the whole plan was that he had to die at the age of 16. And Abhimanyu was so chivalrous that all the Maharathis of Kuru Vamsha, they were fighting one after another with him. He defeated Karna, he defeated Duryodhan, he defeated actually Bhishmadev also, he defeated Drona also. Nobody could stand in front of him. He was so powerful actually. He was just a mere youth. Bhishmadev was 180 years old. Drona also over 100 years old. And so many Maharathis. Karna was like invincible warrior. So looking at the situation that he was conquering everybody, overwhelming everybody with his power, they all attacked him together, which is against the rules of the war. But still he was fighting. And then they actually killed him very brutally. At that time, his wife Uttara was pregnant. And you know, after in the course of time, Bhishmadev was, he fell down, Drona was killed, Karna was killed, Duryodhana was killed. So this Ashwatthama was very much enraged, because Ashwatthama felt that Duryodhana actually was his friend and they had fed them all throughout their life. He was raised in the Chhatrachaya of Kuru Vamsha. So they all felt obliged. That's why even Drona had to participate from his side. And Ashwatthama also, from childhood somehow, by the will of the Lord and the karma, whatever you say, he became friendly with Duryodhan. So when he saw Duryodhan in a very massacred condition, you know, chinna vichinna body, the way Bhima hit him, it is said many miles he flew in the sky. Interestingly, Bhima was so powerful, he had 10,000 elephants power in his arms. A nice story is there, by which he gained the power of 10,000 elephants. The Sarpa king in the, Varundev, gave one glass of kheer. He said, if you drink this one glass, then you will get power of 1,000 elephants. Our Bhimsen drank 10 glasses. Why to miss the chance, you know? Should take mercy in wholesale. So he drank 10 glasses and he got 10,000 elephants power. And with that power, and with full anger, full vigor, full chivalry, he hit Duryodhana under the belt as per the order of the Lord. And actually Duryodhana flew in the sky. Fell down, smashed condition, totally smashed. So Ashwatthama came to see Duryodhan. He was in utter pain actually. More than utter pain, he was in heart pain actually, because he felt that he was cheated by Bhima. He couldn't have been killed, but he was cheated. And somehow all the party together with Krishna, everybody has somehow managed to do this. Very, very, very much in pain. Physical, mental, emotional, everything. And Ashwatthama just couldn't see that. He said, my father also was killed like this only. So he was too much enraged. So he released Brahmastra. This is what happens, you know, when Brahman loses his temper, or Brahman maybe loses balance in his mind, then something like this happens. What is not to be supposed to be used, they use it. So no Divyastra were actually utilized except few times, like Vaijayanti Astra was utilized to kill Karna. Otherwise no Divyastra was used in Mahabharata war. All Divyastra was used in Ramayana war. So this person, in the end of Mahabharata war, he released Brahmastra. And then Sri Krishna told Arjuna to release. Arjuna also released Brahmastra. But then somehow Vyasadeva came and retrieved. He was ordered by Krishna and Vyasadeva, retrieve your Brahmastra. You are fool number one. But still, he could not retrieve. So then Vyasadeva had to nullify them. Arjuna also had released counter Brahmastra. So the story did not end there. He was so enraged. He saw that Kuru Vamsha is vanquished here. So Pandava Vamsha also has to vanquish. And the seed of Pandava Vamsha is lying in the womb of Uttara. You can see the ghastliness, you know. I mean, you can fight a war with equals, and you can fight a war and fight for your justice, and fight for revenge, whatever. Kshatriya can do whatever he wants. But aiming at the helpless child in the womb is something which is most costly. Even, you know, Kamsa did not kill any children in the womb. If you note, Kamsa could have killed Devaki, could have killed every child in the womb before coming out only. But he didn't kill a child in the womb. But this fellow who is aiming Brahmastra at the womb of Uttara. And in those days, the weapons used to be very specific. So Uttara understood that the Brahmastra is coming to her womb. And see the character of Uttara actually. Uttara had all the five grandfathers, father-in-laws, alive. They were there. She could have called them, please save me, Arjuna. Oh, my dear Arjun, my father-in-law, please save me. She didn't approach anybody. She only called Krishna. That is why they are great. When we go in difficulty, we call for our father, call for mother, call for so many people. Who are actually all fallible soldiers. Sahara liya tha, jis jis ka humne, wo sab doobte rahe, bhavar mein bichare. All those people whom you have taken shelter, whom you have kept faith in, they all drown in the ocean of birth and death in the course of time. They ditch you at the last moment when you need them the most. Even when you expect them to help you, they appear to be most helpless. They die or they cannot help you even if they are alive. So knowing this well, even Kunti Devi in her prayer says that I don't care for Vrishni Vamsha or this Vamsha or that Vamsha actually. It doesn't mean anything to me. Although she was so loving, she was so caring, sacrificed so much, she didn't go sati also. When her husband died, she let Madri go sati. And she took care of Madri's children, her children, and underwent so much of difficulties, you know. It appears that she was so attached to her children. But if you read her prayer, she says, I am not attached to anybody. Simply attached to you, my Lord. So Uttara also, she knew that my father-in-laws are very powerful. But still she called only for Krishna. And we should learn a lesson from that. The real Sahara or real shelter is Sri Krishna and nobody else. He may help you through your husband, your wife or your father or mother or anybody, brother. He may choose to help you through a variety of people around you. But in reality, they are not the people who are helping you. Sri Krishna is trying to help you. He is the one who is real shelter. And we should know by philosophical understanding that Sri Krishna is the only personality who is our real shelter. The real personality who can actually save us, can do something. We need to have a shelter which is all time effective. We cannot have shelter which is sometime effective. Expiry date should not be there on the shelter. For all the shelters in this world have expiry date. And they are very unpredictable because when they will become helpless, you don't know. You cannot predict who is available at what time. And I kept faith in you, but even the shelter wants to give shelter to you, but it cannot give shelter to you. Even if want to give shelter also. So we should know by theory and philosophy that Sri Krishna is only our shelter. No one else is our shelter. So she called for Krishna. And it seems that time, if you read Mahabharata and Bhagavatam very scrutinizingly, you will come to know that time Kunti was offering prayers to Krishna. Everything was over, Mahabharata was over. And Krishna had stayed for months together in Hastinapur to solve the problem between the brothers and settle the problems and everything. Settle Hastinapur and put it in good hands. And so his job was done, so he was leaving. And then Kunti Devi was telling, oh my Lord, all the time you were here and everything was saved because of you. So many problems were underwent, but you were there, so every time we called you and you were there. Now, everything is all right, but you are leaving. So I feel that, she's telling, I feel that the conditions of difficulties are actually good. Because when difficulties were there, you were there to help us. When difficulties are gone, you are also going. So actually we are going in dangerous situation. Because you are not going to be there. Every time in dangerous conditions came, we remembered you, we called you, you came and you solved us, our difficulties. Now everything appears apparently all right, but you are leaving. This is the devotee. Devotee doesn't look for a settled condition in life. Sukh that we are looking for actually is not sukh. If sukh is not with Krishna, then the sukh is a very dangerous situation. And you have a lot of dukkha in your life, a lot of misery in your life. For all time, Sri Krishna's memory is with you, or Sri Krishna himself is with you. then you are very fortunate. So what is auspiciousness? Sukha or dukkha is not auspicious or inauspicious. Whatever helps you to remember Krishna is auspicious. So if dukkha helps you to remember Krishna, then it is auspicious. And if sukha helps you to forget Krishna, then sukha is very inauspicious. Yeah. But in the material world, exactly is opposite. You want sukha all the time. So that is no difficulty. But the worst problem of sukha is you forget Krishna immediately when everything is fine. There is no need to remember Krishna. Why would you need Krishna? Everything is there. That is why dukkha is supposed to be very auspicious actually. From spiritual point of view, dukkha is very auspicious. Because dukkha forces you to remember Krishna. And whatever reminds you of Krishna is very auspicious in life. So Kunti Devi is, that's why glorified in Bhagavatam. She is also in Bhagavatam for that reason, because she had understood this spiritual principle. All the personalities who are on this platform are in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, there is no entry for anybody less than a pure devotee. That's why Kunti Devi's prayers are there. When these prayers are such deep understanding of Krishna consciousness. So anyways, apparently that time Sri Krishna was about to leave and Kunti Devi is offering her prayers. She is saying, you don't go, because if you go then all the auspiciousness will go. Why are you going? Don't leave us. At that time this Brahmastra was released. So Sri Krishna is so wonderful personality. He didn't appear to be running away from there. Did you read anything there? Suddenly a call came. Krishna, save me. Brahmastra is coming to my womb. And everything was like, all the prayers were stopped, everything was disrupted. Krishna just ran away from there to save her. No, the prayers continued. Everything was all right. But Krishna's expansion, Krishna himself, another form he took. And he entered the womb of Uttara. But very specifically it is mentioned, it was four-armed form. That means he was Vishnu actually. That means the Aishwarya part of Krishna, the Vaikuntha form of Krishna, entered the womb of Uttara. And it is explained that that small form was only a thumb size. Whose thumb, I don't know. It's not mentioned whose thumb. But maybe adult's thumb. You can appreciate that. But that thumb size of Vishnu had all the glories of Vaikuntha Vishnu. Everything. Millions of sun like effulgence was there in Pitambar, what he was wearing. His helmet was shining like suns, many suns. His Kausubmani, his Vajanti Mala, everything was shining, a brilliant effulgence was there. The dark womb of Uttara was fully lit by the effulgence of Lord. And he was moving his Kamudaki club in such a way that the club was not seen. Like yesterday also we gave the example that the fan is moving and you don't see the blades of the fan. You only see a circle, full circle, little bit darker than the fan. So blades are moving so fast that you only see a circle, you don't see the blades. Like that, the club was not seen, only a circle was seen. The way Krishna moved his club and he nullified the Brahmastra sent by Ashwatthama. And while he was doing that, this baby in the womb, who is later called as Parikshit, was observing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What a fortune. Imagine. There is nobody in the whole creation who had this fortune. Right in the most suffering condition in the womb of mother, he saw Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what must be his qualification? You can imagine. He could have died. It's a simple abortion. What is the big thing? Many people die in the womb only. Because of anomalies, because of some disease or some assault or many things may fall. It's nothing new, people dying in the womb. And the condition of Garbhavas is supposed to be most miserable actually. Punarapi Jandanam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Jandani Jathara Shayanam. It is a very painful situation. And it is in that situation only the soul is praying to the Lord. Oh my Lord, forgive me. I am very sorry. I have done mistake. Again I am in the womb. I am suffering like anything. Worms are biting me. It is so dark. It is, I'm moving in my own stool and urine. I'm drinking my own stool and urine. So painful. Please release me once and for all. I promise you that I will come out and only worship you. This time I am fully aware of the situation, of my status, and I want to forgive, beg forgiveness from you. Please save me from my situation and release me. It is that time in the womb, in the last months, the soul is praying. So it's supposed to be a very suffering period actually. Can you imagine? It's constraint of place. There is no place actually. You have grown up. If you are stretching your legs, then you can come out of the womb also. But you have to be crawled. You have to be crumpled. You have to keep moving in that same situation. If mother eats hot food, then you get burning. If mother smokes, whatever. Everything suffering comes to you. So painful situation. It's kicking all the time here and there. In such a worse situation, he is getting darshan of Lord Sri Krishna. He is in bliss actually. And before he could see him further, Lord disappeared from the womb. But Lord was there to save him from Brahmastra. It's like, it's explained here, Shirishna. Shirishna means too much heat was there. In unbearable heat. Not only in the womb, in the whole universe, that Brahmastra was creating such kind of heat. Brahmastra is meant to destroy the whole Brahmanda. And that was directed towards a small infant. Not even infant, he's a fetus, not infant. He becomes infant after birth. He was a fetus, garbha. So, it's a very thrilling description when he saw Krishna actually. Vishnu form. So, then he was born. And then Namakaran Vidhi was, I mean, Brahmins were called and they were asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj, what kind of a baby, what is his future, what is his character. So I will like to really read the description. While thus being observed by the Lord, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul of everyone and the Protector of righteous, who stretches in all directions and who is unlimited by time and space, disappeared at once. Thereupon all the good signs of zodiac, gradually evolved, and the heir apparent of Pandu, who would be exactly like him in prowess, took birth. King Yudhishthir, who was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, had all the purificatory processes of birth performed, and learned brahmanas headed by Dhaumya and Kripa recited all auspicious hymns. Upon the birth of a son, the king, who knew how, where and when charity should be given, gave gold, land, villages, elephants, horses and good food to all the brahmins. The learned brahmanas, who were very qualified and satisfied with the charities of the king, addressed him as the chief amongst the Purus and informed him that his son was certainly in the line of descent from the Purus. The Brahmana said, "This spotless son has been restored by the all-powerful, all-pervasive Supreme Lord Sri Vishnu, the Personality of Godhead, in order to oblige you. He was saved from when he was doomed to be destroyed by an irresistible supernatural weapon. From this reason, this child will be known in the world as one who is protected by the Personality of Godhead. O most fortunate one, there is no doubt that this child will become the first class devotee and will be qualified with all good qualities." The good king inquired, "O great soul, will he be a great saintly king, as pious in his very name and as famous and glorified in his achievements as others who appeared in this great royal family?" Very insignificant. What is Yudhishthira asking? Will he be a devotee of Lord? He is not asking, will he be very chivalrous? Will he be expanding the kingdom? Will he be very powerful? Will he be conquering his enemies? Will he be wealthy? That is not concern of a devotee. Sincere devotees, when they are pregnant, they only want to have their child to be devotee of Krishna. They want to only pray that, please pray for my child, he should become a devotee. Gaur Mohan Day, when he was feeding sadhus. He was only asking one question to sadhus. Please bless him that he becomes devotee of Radharani. So he becomes very rich and he becomes settled down. He gets all sukha in life. He was not asking for that. Neither he was a very rich man that he didn't want to worry about wealth and everything. He was a very common man. But because Prabhupada said he was a pure devotee actually. So he was asking sadhus that, please bless my child. That he becomes devotee of Radharani. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, who had everything in the world, and their five sons already were dead, so the heir apparents were all dead. One was remaining, that is Parikshit. So first question is asking the saintly people that, will he become a saintly person? Will he become king? This is what all of us should do. We shouldn't worry about whether my son will become, daughter will become rich, or will get married to a rich person or not, or will he settle in life properly, will I have enough food to eat. All those things will be taken care of by his karma. In this world, even elephants don't die out of hunger. Sometimes there may be forest fire and everybody may be burnt. That is a different story. That is the nature of material world. But even ant gets her food and even elephant gets his food. And we all are human beings who are working 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day to earn our food. But the animals don't have any job. In fact, they do all these jobs very nicely, better than us, because we have assurance next meal will come. Today you are sitting and listening to my lecture. You know Prasad will be there in the end. Right? If you are hungry right now also, you wouldn't be sitting over here. Or if you are hungry and not sure about getting food here, you would not come here. You worry about the food. But when the rat delivers 6 babies at a time, the rat doesn't know, how will I feed my babies? How will I feed myself? She rat doesn't know when the next meal for me and my babies is going to come from. And that is true for every meal, all throughout their life. Can you live life like this? Where every next meal is a question. Is it not guaranteed? Can we live like this? We are all assured that next meal is guaranteed. Sometimes when you travel and your flight is delayed, maybe and you are worried that I am hungry, when I get my meal now. Very rarely you get this situation. So King Yudhishthir, in spite of all the situations, he is asking one question. We should also ask that same question. Can my child be a devotee? Can I be a devotee? But that is what is the biggest question in life. Otherwise, the situation of repeated birth and death will keep taking place. So Yudhishthira's query is very, very significant, very inspiring actually. The learned Brahmana said, O son of Prutha, this child shall be exactly like the son, like the king Ikshvaku. Now, why I am reading this? Because at one point of time, Parikshit Maharaj's future is telling that I am Ayogya, I am unworthy descendant of Pandavas. And before even he told that, all the sages already described about him, what he is actually. He will be exactly like King Ikshvaku, son of Manu, in maintaining all those who are born. That means he is the maintainer of everybody, provider of everybody for everything. As for following the Brahminical principles, especially in being true to the promise, he shall be exactly like Lord Ram. That means Vachan. Prana jai par vachan na jai. That was the Raghukul, the way Raghukul managed themselves. They were known for they will die but they will not break their word. So as far as promise is concerned, he would be like Lord Ram. The personality of God is. Okay. Then it is said, this child will be a munificent donor of charity and protector of the surrendered, like the famous king Shibi of the Kushinara country. You know the story of Shibi? He was famous for his charity. So one time, one pigeon came to him, chased by a hawk, and pigeon took shelter of the king, Shibi. That time a hawk said, you should give my food, where is my food? The king said, the pigeon is taken shelter of me. I am the king, so I am supposed to protect him. So I cannot give pigeon to you. You want flesh of pigeon, then take flesh from my body. And he actually sat to cut his body. He said, I will give you the equal weight of the pigeon, my flesh to you, you can eat that. But he went on cutting, and the pigeon never weighed equal to his cut flesh. So he sat on the other side of balance. And at that time the hawk turned into Yamraj and the pigeon turned into Indra. So Indra and Yamraj had come to actually make the glory of Shibi manifest to all over the universe. That kind of personality Shibi was. And he just said that charitable predisposition in Parikshit will be like King Shibi. He will expand the name and fame of his family like Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushyanta. Now this Dushyanta was married to Shakuntala. Shakuntala was the born child from Vishwamitra and Menaka. And Kanva Muni nourished her. Interestingly, this place of Kanva Muni's ashram is from Kamevan to the way to Nandagaon. When you travel from Kamevan to Nandagaon, on the way in between is the ashram of Kanva Muni, where Shakuntala was actually nurtured by Kanva Muni when she was baby. Because, you know, when Vishwamitra united with Menaka and gave birth to the baby girl, both of them left. Menaka also left because she was sent for only delude Vishwamitra. Her job was done, so she left. And Vishwamitra also left. Baby was kept with Kanva Muni. And Kanva Muni nourished her and brought her to youth. And then Dushyant fell in love with her and he married her. And from them came the son Bharat, whose name is Bharat, but after him the country was named as Bharat. The Bharat Varsha was named after that Bharat actually, who was the son of Dushyanta and Shakuntala. So, in expanding name and fame of his family, he would be like Bharat, the son of Dushyanta. Then, it is explained, amongst the great bowmen, the child will be as good as Arjuna. He will be irresistible as fire and unsurpassable as the ocean. And like that it is going on. Like we heard that Arjuna was the most gold medalist archer. Dhanurdhar, the world champion. Nobody could defeat him in archery. Karna was equal, but still he was an edge above because his character was superfluous character. As effulgent and irresistible as fire, as unsurpassable like the ocean. Then you go on. The child will be as strong as lion, as worthy a shelter as Himalayan mountain. Himalayan mountain is a invincible personality. So in shelter, giving shelter, in future you will come to know that when the cow and bull was trembling, how he gave shelter to them. And how, being a most merciful personality, he was about to kill Kali also. That was his power actually. Kali wanted to take entry into the Kali Yuga, into the world actually, as Kali Yuga. And the Kali had no place in the reign of Parikshit Maharaj. That was the power of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, when he was there, he told Kali that go and find place for you where there is unnecessarily violence, where there is illicit sex, vyabhichar, where there is intoxication and where there is gambling. And Kali went all over the universe, which was the Rajya of Parikshit Maharaj. And he came back. He said, I'm sorry sir, in your kingdom there is no place where there is no unnecessary violence, that means killing of animals and eating of flesh, where there is womanizing, where there is gambling, where there is illicit sex, intoxication, nothing of like that. Can you imagine like this a situation today? In every direction, every corner, every inch from your existence, these things are going on. And at that time, because of Parikshit Maharaj is being a pure devotee of the Lord, as also he was chivalrous along with being a devotee of the Lord, by his power and by his influence and by his aura, in the whole kingdom of his where he ruled, there was nobody doing illicit sex, intoxication, gambling and meat eating. Imagine. So Kali had to return back and said, sir, I am also your king, kinsman. You should give me also place to stay, as much you have given to the bull and the cow also. So then he said, wherever there is wealth which is more than necessary, there you go and stay. So immediately found place, lot of place. And that's how actually Kali entered. So even today also, if we have wealth which is more than necessary, and all of us have actually, Kali is going to reside in your house in the form of that wealth. And when he resides in your wealth which is more than necessary, it is going to cause hypocrisy and quarrel. For sure. That is the power of Kali. Kali will enter in your house in the form of the unnecessary wealth and cause you to fight and cause you to behave what you are not. So how to get rid of that situation? By assuring that all this extra wealth that we have is used in service to Krishna. By giving charity for Krishna conscious purposes, then that wealth which is more than necessary is not going to harm you by hypocrisy and quarrel.
But necessity is a very subjective term.
Yes.
How to analyze this? Or what is my requirement?
Whatever is necessary to maintain your body and soul in a very comfortable manner, reasonable manner, befitting your position, your power, your situation in the material world, your duties, is called necessary. If you are a king of the country, then you will have soldiers and you will have royal insignia, royal clothes and royal vehicle. That is the need of the king. And somebody, a simple man, may be having some space to stay and enough food to eat and enough clothes to wear. That is his situation. Everybody actually now knows what he needs and what he does not need. Just try to understand. Everybody, including you and me, know how much we need and how much we are accumulating, which is not our need also. But we still keep on taking it because we have desire to accumulate actually. That is why the antidote to this tendency is devotion. When we are assured devotee for ourselves, not to other, assure others, we are assured devotee for our own sake, then we can be sure that we will not be contaminated by the influence of the wealth that we are accumulating. That's why it is explained that we should be always dedicating the part of our income to serve Krishna. For sure we should do that. If you want to be really be intelligent and try to save yourself from the influence of Kali on your soul and your mind, then we should part with our wealth regularly to serve Krishna. Knowing well that when we part our wealth to serve Krishna, it is going to come back to us in multiples that what you are giving. We should not worry about that. Just give. And by giving you should know that it is going to return back to you in multiples of what you are giving. But we give to serve Krishna so that that wealth can be purified. Whatever remaining wealth is there, it is not going to affect your consciousness. Whatever you part with for service to Krishna is going to assure you that remaining wealth is not going to contaminate your life. And your bhakti will be at ease. You can progress very nicely. Okay? The child will be like his grandfather Yudhishthir or Brahma in equanimity of mind. Imagine. Brahma is supposed to be a very balanced personality, very equanimous at his consciousness, very mental level. Never gets bewildered or never gets disturbed, agitated. Only Krishna Lila, Krishna used him to show even Brahma can be agitated or Brahma can be bewildered. But all throughout his existence, Brahma is supposed to be equanimous. It's very balanced, samatal. And similarly, his grandfather was like Yudhishthir. That's why his name was Yudhishthir, who remains sthir even in yuddha also. He never got agitated in the war also. Stable minded. That is why he could say to Bhima and Arjun that see, when we are fighting, we are 105 separate on two each sides. But when somebody outsider comes, we are 105. Such a fantastic, inspiring statement he has made. Nobody can imagine that he will say like this. Most unpredictable statement he made. Arjun and Bhima was shocked. You know, what is this? He has ruined us completely. It's because of him we are here barefooted walking in the forest, suffering like anything. We should not lose the chance. We are not doing anything. He is just getting destroyed on his own. Let him get destroyed. We are not concerned about it. He said, no. Right now he is being dragged by Yaksha. By tying him in ropes, they are dragging him on the ground. They are actually insulting our Kuru Vamsha by doing this. Maybe Duryodhana is the patra for that. Through him they are doing that. But actually all of our family is being disrespected and insulted by the Yakshas. Go and defeat the Yakshas and release Duryodhana. He is our brother. That is called broad-mindedness. And that is a devotee of the Lord. Devotee of the Lord is not interested in personal revenge and vengeance and individual activity. He is always looking at Vasudeva Kutumbakam, broad-minded sense. He is not interested in bothering about our own welfare, our own selfish interests, our own gain and loss and the political situation, what I will gain, what he will gain, how to make benefit of situations and make our selfish purposes fulfilled. That is not a devotee's consciousness, even though he is a king or a kshatriya or whatever. He always will be on that higher platform. And that higher platform was proved by Yudhishthira's statements that he is not in this petty consciousness. He told Arjuna, they were very reluctant to go. He said, no, go. And very reluctantly actually they went and released Duryodhana from the Yakshapash. And what was Duryodhana's consciousness? Although they came on the order of Yudhishthira and released him. But he took it as a great insult actually. See, I would have loved to die actually from the hands of my enemy. But my other enemy then came and saved me and put me under worst condition, in a shameless and hopeless condition actually. See how a person can think, you know, when his consciousness is very polluted actually. He should have been grateful actually. He should have made friendship with them. He should have forgotten everything and made okay, joined hands and embraced them and say, thank you very much. I'm sorry I came to disturb you here. My purpose was wrong. But that was one of the insult that he took it for himself. Let's see, my enemy Bhima, who I hate from the core of my heart, actually came and saved me. It's a shame upon me. So, what matters is consciousness in life. Whatever you do. He will be munificent like the Lord of Kailash Hill, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is supposed to be most munificent. What is munificence? Audarya. His audarya also is also with Vairagya together. So one time Parvati said, what is this? I'm married to you. There's no house to stay in. You're sitting on the tree here, you know. You're meditating, you're putting ash on the body. I'm the daughter of Himalayas. Do something. I mean, I'm not talking myself. It's like people are accusing you also, useless person. So he said, fine, okay, we'll make a house. And he created such a celestial mansion, you know. Such a celestial mansion. Hava Mahal it is called. Hava Mahal means it's like floating in the sky. It is so affluent. So affluent. Everything was so affluent. Even demigod, not a single demigod, Indra, didn't have such opulence. So it's not that he was like, by karma he was a beggar actually, or pauper. You know, all the power, in spite of having all the power, being Mahadev, he chose to live under a tree, without any possessions. So then Parvati said, we now have a house, we should do Gruha Pravesh. We should do Vastu Shanti, Vastu Puja. So all that ceremonies were performed, many rishis came to help them to do Gruha Pravesh. And after Gruha Pravesh there was food and Annapurna Devi, Parvati Devi was feeding everybody. And then time came that in the Gruha Pravesh Yajna, the Grahastha should be doing charity. So Parvati and Shivji sat together and then whoever, millions of people came. Whatever they wanted they were giving. They were giving and giving. And one rishi came and said, I want this palace only. So he said, Tathastu. And he went back under a tree. So all ceremony of Gruha Pravesh was ultimately resulting into back to pavilion. He didn't have any problem. Absolutely fine. So that is magnificence. So he will be munificent like the Lord of Kailasa Hill, Lord Shiva. And he will be reservoir of, will be resort to everyone like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means the sages are comparing him with the Supreme Lord himself as far as giving shelter to people is concerned. What is Narayana actually? Narayana, the ultimate shelter for all men, is Narayana. This child will be almost as good as Lord Krishna in following his footsteps. In magnanimity, he will become as great as King Rantidev. And in religion, he will become like Maharajayati. So many personalities are there. All these personalities together was equal to Parikshit. Put together, joined together, was equal to Parikshit. Imagine. He had quality of every Pandava with him, every Devata with him. This Rantidev, he did vrat for such a long time and he was about to break his vrat. At that time, some Brahmins came, beggars came, so he parted with them. Then finally, dogs came and he gave dogs also. And there was Yamraj actually. He was pleased with his charity. It just was nothing was left for him, whatever was given to him finally. But he was okay with that. Such kind of sacrifice is very unknown actually. One will do charity and help others, protecting himself first. Not apna nikal ke koi deta nahi kisi ko. Why Rantidev is in Bhagavatam? Because of that. Because he didn't bother about himself. He is always thinking about others. And that kind of charity is extremely pleasing to the Lord. That when you do something not considering yourself or not considering your welfare, sacrificing your own welfare when you give to others something, it may be money, it may be food, it may be love, it may be affection, it may be counsel, it may be so many things which are not actually wealth as such. But whatever you possess, you give others not considering about your own welfare or not protecting yourself or not assuring your insurance. That is very attractive to the Lord. And to that person, the Lord gives. You don't have to earn yourself. The Lord provides because He is so charitable. Anyway, so the description goes on and it's very inspiring actually. For example, this child will be like Bali Maharaj in patience, a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna like Prahlad Maharaj, a performer of many Ashwamedha Yajnas and a follower of the old and experienced men. This child will be the father of kings who will be like sages. For world peace and for the sake of world religion, he will be the chastiser of the upstarts and the quarrelsome. After hearing about his death, which will be caused by the bite of the snake bird sent by a Brahmin, he will get himself freed from all material attachment and surrender unto the personality of Godhead taking shelter of him. Then his death also is explained here. Such a personality actually. Was cursed by a string Brahman boy. Now you see, it's also explained in different places that he had much more power than Sringi actually. He could have counteracted his curse, he could have counter-cursed him, he could have done so many things actually. Such a balanced personality. He thought that maybe it's Krishna's will that I should die in 7 days. It's not easy to think like that. First question is why? Why this is happening to me? Why me only? This is the first question comes whenever something happens to you. And death curse is said upon you. And he's thinking, okay, maybe desire of the Lord. Peacefully he goes, removes his mukuta, removes Rajvastra, removes, gives up his position, wears a kopin, and comes to the bank of Ganga. And then he is wondering, how today I got so much overwhelmed by the passion of thirst? How I got uncontrolled today? Maybe Krishna's plan. Because his control over thirst and hunger was proved later on. And even Sukadev is, Maharaj is wondering, how you are not thirsty and hungry? How you are not disturbed by pangs of hunger and thirst and sleep? Even after seventh day, last day is now coming up. And still you are inquiring more and more, and that's enthusing me also why you are inquiring. Generally, after you can imagine, person has not slept for 7 days, 7 nights. Say 5 days, 5 nights. So 6th day, how you will be? 6th evening, how you will be? 7th morning, how you will be? 7th afternoon, how you will be? 7th evening, how you will be? And 7th now night, how you will be? You can just go on imagining. If I go on speaking, for example, now, and becomes 3 in the morning, then what do I expect? I have done marriages sometimes as a Purohit in the middle of the night in some families, you know. Literally there are beds put up near the Yagi Kunda and everybody is fast asleep. And the bride and bridegroom also are about to sleep. Now I am chanting mantras, so they have to do mama and this and that and do feras and everything. But what do you expect at 3 in the morning? Everybody is sleeping. And finally, when everything is done, we wake them up. Now, last prayers are going on. Get up and throw some akshata on them. So this is only one night story. In one night, this is a knockdown situation. This is 7 nights. Still, Parikshit is so much enthusiastic. In fact, more enthusiastic than from day one. He's saying, I'm drinking nectar from your lotus mouth. This is giving life to me. There's no question of tiredness or exhaustion or lethargy or discharge of energy. And Shukdev also is not slept. It's not that he's having his meals in between and he's coming back after some time. No, he's sitting there. He never saw any tiredness on the face of Parikshit. And he's a transcendental personality. He's also there. But he was deriving energy from even Parikshit, looking at his enthusiasm. So in every spiritual lecture, what is being spoken is not the expertise or a skill of the speaker, it is actually equal to the eagerness of the audience. The audience, out of their eagerness, draw things from the speaker. And Krishna accordingly empowers the speaker to speak as per the audience and their enthusiasm and eagerness to hear about the Lord. So it is not, many times we speak something which are not prepared only. Then we understand, it is the audience actually. And many times we have prepared so many things, but we don't speak only. Because the audience don't deserve that, so it doesn't come out. And we feel literally, except it's not good. Nothing to worry, don't worry. It's all between the Lord and the audience. You are the medium in between. So that personality for 7 days and 7 nights were not disturbed for by an iota of thirst and hunger. How can you get angry when you are little thirsty? Not possible. No, it's not logically possible. And he proved himself also. That he was not actually disturbed by hunger or thirst. It was Lord's desire, because Lord had just left. And Lord wanted to appear in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he had to do some leela. So he used his most pure devotee, most wonderful personality, Parikshit Maharaj. And by his personality, character, he actually manifested Srimad Bhagavatam, which today also we are reading. So what Shukdev Maharaj spoke is glorious, no doubt about that. But the glory goes to Parikshit because of Parikshit's eagerness, Parikshit's mumukshu nature of inquiry, his desire to understand, his desire to take shelter of the Lord, his desire to know what is the duty of a dying person. Because of Parikshit's spot, the kind of pot he had, Shukdev filled up that pot with Bhagavatam. If Parikshit had a cup, then your cup was only filled. If Parikshit had a pot, then pot would have been filled. So what we receive today is actually Parikshit's consciousness. The cup, the patra of Parikshit's consciousness is Srimad Bhagavatam actually. Which prompted, which inspired Shukdev Maharaj to speak in such an eloquent and precise manner. In 7 days, 7 nights, it's not possible to cover everything. So he has covered the most important essentials, must be items, and put them together. And today also we are singing those descriptions, which are param kalyanakari for all humanity for ever to come in future. That's why all glories to Parikshit Maharaj. Because of his personality, his charitra, his character, The beautiful Amrutmayi Srimad Bhagavatam is today available, which is going to deliver every human being on earth, provided they take shelter and understand and assimilate the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nobody who hears Srimad Bhagavatam beginning to end with eagerness in the heart never going to come back in the material world again. That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without having accumulated pious activities and Vaishnava Seva for many lifetimes in the back, one cannot come across Srimad Bhagavatam in life. Somebody has come across Srimad Bhagavatam, that means he has already done all service to devotees, all punya karmas, all good activities, all good character in the past lifetimes. That's why we are amazed ourselves also, that we have Srimad Bhagavatam being narrated in the morning and afternoon in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. We read one verse every day. In public we read, in the ground floor where around 200 patients are waiting that time, and about 50-60 employees standing and listening to prayers, and all everybody is just waiting for doctor, and they are like, what's going on? And they are also hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So those who enter Bhaktivedanta Hospital are not ordinary people. They must have performed pious activities in many lifetimes in the past. That is why they are falling sick and coming in the form of patient and are able to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name on their ears. That is the greatest fortune. Whether they are in the hospital, whether they are on the road, whether they are passing by a Bhagavatam Katha Pandal, they can pass by that Pandal only when they have enough pious activities and the credit. Such literature has been created by the power of the personality of Parikshit Maharaj. So glory of Sukadeva Maharaj is definitely there, no doubt about that. But the true underlying glory is of Parikshit Maharaj actually, because of him the wonderful narration came out actually. So please read this chapter very intently and carefully, because simply by reading the charitra of Parikshit Maharaj, one can go back to God. It that is guaranteed. Now let us also think about Ashwatthama. When he actually released Brahmastra, that time Krishna sent Arjun and Bhim to catch him, and he took the chariot and he ran away because he understood now he will not be surviving. And if they actually chased him on chariot, he also running on chariot. And then at one point of time, all his horses were frothing at their mouth. So he had to give up his chariot. And he jumped on the chariot and he was running on the ground. And to be just and equal to him, they also gave up their chariot. They also ran on the foot. And finally they caught him. They caught him and by dragging with hair, they brought him back. And they brought him to Draupadi actually. Now see Draupadi. How wonderful personality she is. She could have said, kill him because he has killed my 5 sons. But the broad-minded nature of a devotee is manifested exactly when the devotee is under stress. You and me also, our real character or real personality is manifested when we are under stress. You are when you are put under stress. You are when you are put under stress. The real you is when you are under stress. Everything fine, everything, everybody is fine. Everybody is hugging each other. No. But your real personality comes out when you are put under stress. So she was under stress. Her 5 sons were killed most ghastly manner, most cruel manner, unjust manner. She was weeping like anything. Like the cow has laughed her calf. And then the culprit was brought. So she had all right in the world to tell them, yes, behead him, kill him. But she said, no, don't kill him. For many reasons, she said. Because he is son of our guru, our acharya, Drona. So he is worshipable because his father has taught all of you. Second thing is, if I order him to be killed by you, then our Guru Mata, Ashwatthama's mother, will undergo the same pain which I am undergoing now. A devotee never wants his pain or her pain to be shared by others, or others should go through the same pain that he or she has undergone. Okay, it's with me, I'm fine, I will go through it, but I don't want you to go through it, or someone else should go through it. Now she's somewhere in the ashram, somewhere, you know, widow ladies. They don't know exactly what's happening here. So she feels gratitude towards Guru Mata. She had been the mother of, wife of that teacher who had taught all of you, my husbands. And I don't want her to undergo the pain which I am going right now by mourning over my five dead sons. This is with releasing. She has released him, but Krishna has not released him. You may commit offense to a devotee, and a devotee may forgive you, but Krishna doesn't forgive you actually. Krishna said, told Arjun that you do such an activity. It is actually in the history of whole creation. Lord Krishna has not given anybody such kind of curses. If you analyze, Lord Krishna was still angry with Ashwatthama. And what he did, he himself went and plucked the money from the head of Ashwatthama, which was actually his glory. All his tej, Brahma tejas and everything else, whatever he had, was because of that money. So he plucked that money from his forehead. It was so painful for him when it was removed from him. And then Lord Krishna said that I curse you that the wound that is created by removing this money will never heal. It will keep bleeding. It will keep bleeding and it will keep bleeding. And I curse you that there will be so much pain you will undergo that no remedy in the world, no vaidya, no treatment, no herb, no medicine can actually mitigate your pain. And I curse you that you will like to die because of the pain that you will undergo, but you will not die also. My God, what a curse. What curses? One after another. Now you get lost from here. Get out from this place. Go away. And he went away. And he was like suffering like anything. So much suffering was there. Now wherever he went, he wanted to solve his pain, but nobody could help him. He went to Lord Shiva. Please help me. He said, no, sorry sir. Our master has cursed you. We have no power to help you. Please, we are very sorry. Go away from us. Then he went to Lord Brahma. He went to all demigods. Everybody said sorry. He went to Lord Shiva. He also said sorry. Then Brahma, he said, I'm sorry. He said, you are a rascal number one. What you have done, nobody can save you. But he was so much crying and so much repenting and repentful in the heart. Brahma said, well, I don't see any hope in your case. But I'll just try one option. I think it may help you. So you go to Barsana and then you go and worship Radharani. You call her name and you worship her. Maybe something can be done about it. So he went with great hope to Barsana. By that time he went to Barsana, he was already too much repentful in the heart. He was not like revengeful and even though whatever I did was right and it was like justified whatever I did. By the time he went everywhere in the world, he suffered for a long time. That pain he went through, it purified his consciousness. And he went to Barsana, and the outskirts of Barsana he sat and he was calling the name of Radharani, begging for her mercy. And as merciful, as simple-hearted and simple-hearted Radharani is, she appeared to him. And as soon as Radharani appeared to him, he fell at her feet and begged for forgiveness, for relief of all miseries. And all the miseries were immediately mitigated. The wound stopped bleeding, the pain disappeared, and he became all right, absolutely. And of course, when Radharani appears, it doesn't appear when somebody is contaminated or somebody is ulteriorly motivated or sinful. She won't appear to that person. She will appear only when he is completely purified. That means he was purified. So actually he became pure devotee at that moment of time. And that place is called Pipasavan, where Radharani appeared to him. And Radharani, then he said, how do I serve you? Then Radharani said that, this is my Pipasavan. Then she explained, what is Pipasa? Pipasa means One is called thirst, Trishna. But when it becomes intense, it is called Pipasa. Unbearable. So we too, Radha and Krishna, myself and my beloved Shyam Sundar, when we are like in intense thirst of meeting, we come to this place. And we perform Rasila over here. In this place, see, this is Shyamakund. When I was thirsty, in one time, Krishna dug a pond with his flute and created a pond of water and fed me water. I drank water from that. And when Krishna was thirsty, I made a kund called Radha Kund from which I fed Krishna water. So this place is very esoteric. It's very confidential and private. And we always meet here to satisfy the intense thirst of meeting for each other. So you remain in this place and guard this forest. As it is, you are not going to die. You will live eternally. So live here, perform sadhana here, perform worship and maintain this forest. That is called Pipasavan. It's about 5 kilometers from Barsana. In local language is called Pisaya. And today also, if you go there, everybody knows that this is Ashwatthama's place. It is, local language is called as Ashwatthama Jhadi. Jhadi means where trees are there. A very unique situation is there in Pipasavan. Whenever you enter Pipasavan, it's a very lonely place. Nobody goes there actually. It's a huge forest. At one end, there are two ponds, Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. And many rishis, murtis are there, where whoever performed tapasya there. And everybody knows there that those who are pure-hearted, who are performing sadhana there, and very pure-hearted souls, they get darshan of Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama gives them darshan. And he controls and protects the forest. That is why if somebody cuts the wood from that forest and takes it for one's selfish purposes, then either the person will become blind or become completely paralyzed or the person will die. So what people do, if they have some function at home, for example, holy function like yagya or some function for the Lord's pleasure, then they take the wood from that place and use in fire sacrifice, maybe used for cooking. And whatever remaining wood is there, they will go and bring back in the forest and arrange it like nicely, stack it beautifully. So you will walk in the forest of Pipasavan, then you will see many stacks of wood, cut wood, in many places. It's like a conglomerate, collections of many stacks of arranged wood, wood in all over the forest. As recently as about 2 years back, one young boy just picked up some wood and he brought. And by the time he reached Khadirwan, his own village, Khaira, he became blind. And he didn't know why he became blind. But the old men in the village knew that. He said, "You rascal, you fool, go and keep the wood back, otherwise you will die or you'll become permanently blind." So somehow he couldn't walk because he already was blind. So he took the help of his friend and he went back and dropped the wood back, and his eyes, they got vision back. So it's not a joke, huh? It's not something which you can play upon with. It's all very serious matter. There's one more place in Vrindavan called Nidhivan, and Sevakunj also. Mainly Sevakunj. At twilight time, all creatures leave that place, including ants, including monkeys, including every bird, every human being. They quit that place and come out. Because at that place, whole night Krishna performs Rasleela. Today also. And if anybody wants to hide and see, then he will become blind, paralyzed, or he will die. And they do Shayanarti, and they keep water, they keep milk, they keep laddus, many sweetmeats and many other items. And in the morning when they do Mangalarti, whatever time they do, 4 o'clock, they will find that the glass milk is half drunk, laddu is half eaten, it's disarrayed, dismantled. You know, like you can see that somebody has eaten all these things in a half way. And people go to Mangalarti to receive that Mahaprasad of Radha and Krishna. But anybody wants to hide and see there, he may die there. Like that. So this is the mercy of Radharani. One who is rejected and horribly cursed by Krishna, she can save that person. So I don't think anybody in history is as cursed to like Ashwatthama. Nobody, Krishna has not cursed anybody like that. Such kind of horrible curses. But Radharani saved him. And he's still living there as a pure devotee. He's condemned by everybody today also. But there he is living as a pure devotee of Radharani. With Radharani ki. So, thank you very much, all of you. You have given me the chance. You have given me the chance to glorify King Parikshit. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any question anybody has?
I got one question, but not related to today's topic. It's
first there should be questions of today's topic. Before we get diverted from any other discussion. Yes, Roji.
Those who die when they are thinking about the Lord or they are chanting the name of the Lord, they obviously go back to the Lord. I don't know, I just have this curiosity. What happens if someone leaves their body while they are seeing the leela of the Lord in Vidhi Varnam? Do they also achieve the same platform? Or?
Yes. Okay. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. If you, what you see, you remember, na? Right now I am seeing you, so I am remembering you. You are in my thoughts. So if I am watching the leela of the Lord, naturally I am remembering the Lord also. I cannot watch the leela of the Lord and think of somebody else, or my wife or somebody. Because watching the Lord's leela is not like watching somebody else in the world. If I watch somebody else in the world doing something, I can still remember my wife and children and my country and my kinsmen. Because they are ordinary people. I may see you, but still I think of something else. But when you are seeing the Lord performing His pastimes, you cannot think of anything else. Lord is a very overwhelming personality. In the presence of the Lord, you cannot look anybody else, anywhere else. You cannot think of anything else. If today, just now in the assembly, suppose Prime Minister comes in, suppose. Can you think of something else? At least for 5-10 minutes when he comes in. If he gives through 45 minutes lecture, then you can get spaced out. But if he comes right now, you will forget everything and only watch him. Oh, he has come. If this is true about some worldly powerful person, what to speak of a supremely powerful person? If he comes in and gives darshan to you or does some activities to show you, it cannot allow you by your own will also to think of anything else but him. And that is sufficient. If you see some leela of the Lord while passing away, it's your good fortune. And you will go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Anything else?
What about, you just now said that if a person watches this Rasa Leela, he may die also. In that case, if he dies, what will be his position?
The mood is very offensive. So if he is watching Rasa Leela and he dies because of that, he will not go back to Godhead. Because he has broken the rule, he is his audacious activity. Uddandata hai wo. If you see last leela by the will of the Lord, then you will go back to Godhead. But if you want to bargain yourself and against the rule of the Lord, against the desire of the Lord, you are so aggressive and proud and uddand, audacious, then even if you see the Lord, you will not go back to Godhead. Did Duryodhana go back to Godhead? Duryodhana was seeing the Lord face to face. Not one time, so many times. All the time actually. As much time as Pandavas, Duryodhana was also seeing the Lord. What matters is consciousness. So Duryodhana saw the Lord and ordered his soldiers to arrest him. So he is like Chetuk. Chetuk means called magic person. Kya bolte mayavi shakti hai uske paas bahut. Capture him and put him in the jail. That was his mood. When Lord came and gave darshan to him, the Lord showed him Virat Rupa also that time. But still he was not affected by that. Because consciousness is very bad. Na?
Kansa round bhi kiya tha kya Bhagwan ke paas?
Haan?
Kansa round.
Dekho, everybody went back to Godhead in the true platform. But in the drama of the Lord, they didn't go back to Godhead. They were all devotees of the Lord only ultimately. They took role of a demon and role of an enemy of the Lord. to show the world. But in the Leela of the Lord, they didn't go back to Godhead. In truth, Ravana also said, Jai Sri Ram. Where do you think he must have gone? But we have to understand from that story that it is not the proximity with the Lord which will take you back to Godhead. It is said even the Khatmal, the bug is on the king's throne. By sitting on the king's throne, the bug doesn't become king. His mind is only to suck the blood of the person who's sitting on the throne. His consciousness doesn't change because he's sitting on the throne of the king. So what makes the king as a king is the consciousness of the personality. So similarly, what takes you back to Godhead is not your physical proximity with the Lord. Even if Lord comes now to you, you will still look something else, somewhere else. If your consciousness is not proper. If your consciousness is little favorable to Lord and you are a sadhaka, since a beginner sadhaka, you have some proclivity towards the Lord. And the Lord comes to you, you will be overwhelmed. But if you are enemy of the Lord and Lord comes to you, then what happens, you know? You will become more inimical towards the Lord. Two things can happen when the Lord appears to you. When Lord appears to you, you are inimical to the Lord before only, your animosity to the Lord will increase and multiply in multiple folds. And if you are a devotee of the Lord, your devotion will multiply into millions of folds. So Lord is Yathamam Prapadyante. He will increase your devotion if you are a devotee. He will increase your enmity if you are an enemy of the Lord. Simple. Like that it is. Yes?
How to understand that Lord is merciful, since you explained about how he cursed Ashwatthama.
How to understand that he is merciful?
How to understand Lord is merciful?
Finally, what happened? So, he is also trying to glorify his beloved Radharani by this pastime. That her mercy is much more than my mercy also. My mercy is not comparable to her mercy. Her mercy is much more powerful than my mercy also. So he wanted to manifest that power of Radharani. That's why he did this pastime.
So you said in stress, our real nature will come out, human being. So I mean, the great devotees, they still they still pray God to show the mercy to others. So how this can be cultivated? It is very difficult in the material world. When you are stressed, you will be surely not having good mental conditions.
I remember the statement made by Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, His Holiness. He said, we should all become like a sweet mango. Whichever side you squeeze, only mango juice comes out. Sweet mango juice, nectarian mango juice comes out. So we should become such a devotee of the Lord. Pray for that whatever side we get squeezed by the material nature, only mango juice should come out. We should aspire for that situation. If your heart is filled with love for the Lord and you are put under stress by some defamy or some attack or something, you will only ooze out love of God only. Like Haridas Thakur. He was beaten up in 22 marketplaces. In 1-2 marketplaces, people used to die in 1 or 2 marketplaces only. But he was in 22 marketplaces, he survived somehow. Because of many reasons. Anyways. But when he was being attacked brutally, he was praying to the Lord, oh my Lord, please forgive them. They are innocent people, they just forgive them, my Lord. So Lord Chaitanya had already appeared there with his chakra. Contrary to his mission, he had not supposed to raise any weapon. But he appeared there at chakra. And he said the compassion of Haridas Thakur was so powerful that the anger of Krishna was defeated and the chakra remained his hand only. And his finger got burnt. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And finally chakra went. But the time duration for which Lord Chaitanya kept on holding that chakra without releasing it, it burnt his finger. But it still he could not release the chakra, although he wanted to. What does that prove? That the power of compassion of a devotee was overwhelming the power of anger that Lord had. And Lord had to accept defeat. So helplessly Lord covered his complexion of Haridas Thakur. on his, I mean, he covered him with his complexion. In fact, he just, what do you say, how to say that? He covered him and took all the blasts on his body, and he showed those blasts on his back in Mahaprakash Leela. So that is Haridas Thakur. He showed that this is possible. Also, Haridas Thakur said, you can break my body into 1,000 pieces and then break each one of them into 1,000 pieces. Each of those pieces will chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. What can I do? Kazi, Nabab, I cannot help myself. Every atom of my body will chant Hare Krishna. That means I am obsessed with the holy name. You can do whatever you want, whatever you feel appropriate. But this is what is my condition. Now, what kind of stress he was put under that time? Imagine. Life is under threat. But he is like, Prahlad, life under threat. But he is simply immersed in the Lord. So that all the devotees are put under stress by the Lord. Purposefully to show, this is what my devotee is. When you put under him under more and more and more and more stress, more and more and more love for me comes out of that. And that's why we read Bhagavatam. To get some strength, to get some spiritual power, to get some hope in the situation that we are in. And what is described over here is much, much more magnanimous than what we go through, appears like peanuts in life. When we see the things, what the devotees have gone through. So to draw inspiration and strength, we read these stories. So we can manage with our own little difficulties that we go across. And what to speak of Prahlad and Dhruva, and what to speak of all these people, Haridas Thakur. Even people in this world next to you also undergo much more miseries than you. You are never best in anything. You cannot say, the misery that I go through, nobody can go through. There are people, for example, I have a handicapped baby at home, okay? So I may feel that I have got so much miseries. But in the hospital, there's one mother who has four such babies. Four. One after another. Every time the mother was giving birth to such baby, I was called to counsel because I have such a baby, so something. Fourth time, what counsel I can give her? And till today, she is having four cots in the house, four babies, very fully grown up. Maybe 20 years to 15 years, 10 years, I don't know how many years. And she's managing the four babies. Husband is busy earning to manage the babies. She's not killed them or sacrificed them. So how can I say I have the worst misery in life? Everywhere there is some better person, higher than you and below you also. If you say I'm poorest man in the earth, then there are people more poor than you also. So it is always explained, you are not best of anything. So what to speak of Prahlad also. In this world also there are people who are suffering more than you and still managing their lives. So we have nothing to be proud of in this world. Not of the wealth that we have, not of the misery that we have. We have to just be humble servant of the Lord. That is very important. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Now you can ask your question.
Actually, I was discussing with our own local Muslim, and he was telling, he was glorifying how the Quran has been glorified mothers. Mothers, you have to take care, there's so much importance in the Quran to the mothers' seva. And at the same time, I'm looking at the other side, where Hindus, a lot of people are keeping the parents in that old age home. I'm just thinking, is it something lacking in our scripture? Because our scripture talks only about bhakti, 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 for Bhagavatam. So, is it something really lacking, or is it a new requirement has come up, is required?
Don't think that our scriptures lack that information, first of all. Our scriptures are complete and perfect. Maybe we have not read all scriptures, that's why we may think that. In our whole culture in India, today also, if you see, the richer the person is, their mothers are in the old age homes. But a poor farmer will never keep his mother in the old age home. Why is that? Because that's our culture. You don't have to tell everything to everybody. Arjuna was not told in Bhagavad Gita, na Arjuna? Don't sleep with your mother, don't sleep with your sister, don't sleep with your daughter. Whom that is told? Did I tell you in the class, don't smoke, don't eat meat? Did I tell anybody in this class? Because I know nobody eats meat here. But suppose if I tell in the class, that means I have somebody in the class, I know, this guy eats meat. So I have to tell, please don't eat meat, it's very bad. So if something is told, that means if you don't do that, then you are told, you should do this. But in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, Krishna never felt the need to tell Arjuna that you should not sleep with your mother and sister, you should not eat meat, you should not eat wine, you should not eat intoxication or gambling. Because he was Arya, he was already an elevated personality. By his common training at home, he has learned all those things. So we never hear Arjuna keeping his mother in old asylum or anybody else in the history. What does that mean? That means you are supposed to take care of a mother and father. When your scripture is telling you to do this, that means you are not doing this, or your scripture is telling you this. The scripture is not the scripture is not telling you the status of the talker, of the person who is telling the scripture to you. The scripture tells you the status of the audience. So when in Bible it is told, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do this, do that. That means the people who are listening, for whom it is told, they are doing all those things. That's why they are told, don't do these things. What about, in Quran it is explained that alcohol and smoking is haram. Isn't it mentioned there? It's mentioned there. Why it is mentioned there? It's not mentioned in Gita. Because people were doing all those things. That's why they were told, don't do that thing. What poor Muhammad will do? He will have to tell people what they are doing and not to do those things, and bring them from their lowest level to some level and some level. So this is all useless kind of discussion. We will not even indulge in discussion like this. But yes, if we are not taking care of a parent, we should take care of parents. Then what kind of devotees are we? If we cannot love our mother and father who have given birth and born us for 9 months and then raised us, what to speak of loving Krishna? How it is possible to love Krishna? And how Krishna will love you? Even if you want to love him, he will not love you. If you cannot love people who are next to you, or now available to you in front of you, how will you love that person who is not visible to you? If you cannot love fellow devotees around you, then what is the guarantee you love Krishna? It's just a fake statement. It's hypocrisy. It's illusion that we think we love Krishna. Lord Krishna has given so many people for you to love right now. You don't love them, forget loving Krishna. We have to have complete faith in our scriptures and our path. Even if we are not able to explain anybody, who cares? But which we have complete faith in the path that we follow. With full conviction. If we get bewildered by such kind of things, that means we lack complete conviction in our own faith, in our own scriptures. Uttamadhikari is that personality who may not be able to, Madhyamadhikari is that personality who may not be able to convince everybody, but his faith is very firm, unshakable. Kanishtadhikari is a person who has faith, but somebody strong comes against that faith, he becomes bewildered. But Madhyamadhikari, somebody strong comes, he may not be able to defeat him or convince him in his argument, but he doesn't get shaken by the arguments that he is hearing. So we need to, ultimately all of us, should have complete faith that what we are following is perfect and my Guru will take me back to Godhead. We have to have that utter conviction. I may not be qualified. My Guru is so powerful that he will purify me and send me, he will cut me, he will burn me, he will beat me, whatever he will do, finally he will take me back to Godhead. That faith we must have. And by the way, I must tell you this. Tomorrow, a day will come when there will be only one religion in the world. That is called ISKCON. Everything else, by the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will vanquish in the course of time. by the power of time. And what you and me are following will become the world religion. That is the prediction of Lord Chaitanya, not my prediction. So we have to be proud of what our path is, what we are following. It may not manifest its full glory today, but we live and continue chanting Hare Krishna, we will see in our lifetime how we will, our religion will upsurge as the only religion in the world. And how other upstarts will get destroyed in the course of time. So just stay on.
Prabhuji, you said one thing, if you are giving money or things in the name of Lord for charity, so you said that God will give more. Doesn't it mean that Kali is staying more and more? Yes. Or
if whatever he gives more to you, you make sure that you reach service in service to God, how Kali will stay there? Tenancy is given to Kali only when you use it for yourself. More than necessary way. When you use it for yourself, more comes and you keep it for yourself, then Kali will get tenancy. But if you are always using it for service to Krishna, Kali has no tenancy. Not possible to stay in your wealth. So make sure that your wealth is always in service to Krishna. You can become millionaire also. No problem.
I want to ask one small question to you. One is a very special memory of you that in your lifetime of service, you have kept very close to your heart. Maybe if you can share with us one. And another is a very small tiny question. That is, I heard previously that during Mahabharata time, already there was decline of religion. And there used to be meat eating by the Kshatriyas. So how we reconcile these two things that during Parikshit Maharaj's time there was no meat eating?
Because Krishna came and cleared everything, na? Krishna came, Paritrana Sadhunam and Dharma Samsthapana Arthaya. So Krishna came purposely to re-establish religion. So he wouldn't have left the world unless he has finished his work, na? Logically, you understand? So he has come and cleared the situation and established religion and everything fine. And Parikshit came after that and continued and maintained everything nicely. How can Bhagavatam be wrong? Bhagavatam is saying that Kali came back asking for place, there is no place. How can that be wrong? That has to be right, no? And it's also right that people were doing all those things before Krishna came and while Krishna was there also. So Krishna annihilated everybody, made everything fine, put back in the track, everything on pure path, and that's why there was no sinful activity going on that time.
Very nice.
And regarding the most cherished thing in my life, Hare Krishna. The day Gurudev accepted us as his disciples, it's the most wonderful thing in life actually. The most wonderful day of life is that such wretched souls like us are also accepted out of extreme mercy by Gurudev. And still we are still in the stage of acceptance, continuous acceptance by Gurudev in spite of all the situation that we go through in life. What more cherishable can be than that? The day we received the holy name of the Lord through Gurudev, the day we chanted the first Hare Krishna Mahamantra after initiation, the day we chanted first Gayatri Mantra after Brahman Diksha. How can we forget those days, the moments? Most extraordinary experiences are there in those days. And what we could have been today without the mercy of Guru? I know exactly what I could have been, what I was heading for, what my plans were. Very systematic plans were there to do things. You know, but when I was about to execute those plans of sense gratification, it was Lord intervened and took me on different direction. And my friend and myself were full fourth gear into sense gratification. And then suddenly one devotee came in my life, took me like this to devotion, and he went into full, and he died at 35 years of age. IIT rank holder, with myself, both of our eye triangulators. So I can see what I could have become if I would have continued. Had not Dayaram Prabhu intervened in my life and taken me on the other side, I exactly know the way my friend went. He became brown sugar addict. What he did not do? He bought a gun. He looked at his father and mother and sold everything in the house. All gold, silver, everything he sold. And everything, so many things happened, you know. So much we tried to save him after that also. Because he is the one who introduced me to Dayaram Prabhu actually. Yeah, he took me to ISKCON, he took me to Zuhu and he introduced me to Dayaram Prabhu and I took up this path. But he did not take up this path. He continued from charas, from cigarette, alcohol, then charas, then ganja, then brown sugar, then heroin and then death. And I could have exactly followed in the same way. He was a very thick, close friend of mine. Even for the sake of friendship also, I could have actually done everything with him. And whatever nonsense I did for some time also, only his company, out of his love only I did. Like that. So this is ecstasy in life actually. That you know what are you saved from. Is it not ecstasy? Is it not most jealous experience of, my God, I could have been like this and I am today something else only. So, the thought that we have been bestowed upon with the holy name, the company of a pure devotee and sincere devotees around us, we have been given the highest of all paths, highest of all goals, highest of all methods to perform, highest of all experiences to live with, and great people to have them as your friends. Everything is just superfluous mercy. Otherwise, if I was not a devotee of Krishna, trying to be a devotee of Krishna in ISKCON, I wouldn't have met great people in life and wouldn't have moved around with them. I know my childhood, where I was born and how I was raised. I have seen people being murdered in front of me. People being stabbed. I have seen gang wars in my childhood. I have seen all worst people in my building, in my society, in my area. Every evening, suddenly blackout and tube lights and soda water bottles and people getting hurt and shouting and blood everywhere. I have seen that from my childhood. As a small child, I have seen people being stabbed with swords and everything. So from that kind of upbringing, today my life is such a wonderful life I am living. So isn't that a thrilling experience? I could have continued living there and maintaining all the consciousness and all the culture of that place and language and everything. And I don't know what I could have been. So all the devotees' mercy. So I can go on telling you like this. There's so many wonderful experiences that we have received, which we are not worthy for actually. We know exactly from within our heart, we are not worthy for all these things. But we are still receiving all those things. So much of love, you all have invited me here to come. And opportunity to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavatam, live Bhagavatam. Live in the company of those Bhagavatas all the time. This is all divine life actually. Most merciful nature of the Lord is manifesting in our lives. Should be utterly thankful and grateful. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai. Jai Vishwarupa Prabhu ki.
Jai.